I would to like to use now the remaining 25 minutes, which we have to 6:30, to give you a particular place where meditation and chanting combines together. I don't know if all of you have received these sheets of papers. No, we have them for you. Please keep them afterwards. Now, it is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra as given by Gopal Guru Goswami. I will wait until you have it. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, we find an instruction how to bring the chanting of the mantra to its perfection. And one very, very important rule there is that while you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you lovingly meditate about the meaning of the mantra. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbhas says this with a short Sanskrit slogan, mantra chintata. You should chant the mantra and then chinta, in your chinta, in your chetana, in your consciousness, you should connect with the meaning of the mantra. So Srila Prabhupada has explained to the whole world the root meaning of the Maha Mantra, which really includes all other meanings. My dear Srimati Radharani, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. And I want to read you a quotation from teachings of Lord Kapila. In the beginning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, says Srila Prabhupada, we first address the internal energy of Krishna. Hare. Thus we say, O Radharani. O Hare. O energy of the Lord. When we address someone in this way, he usually says, yes, what do you want? The answer is, please engage me in your service. This should be our prayer. So, now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book which made a huge difference in my personal life. It made two huge differences. I can only recommend you to read this book. It's called Chaitanya Shikshamrita, the Amrita or Nectar of Lord Chaitanya's Instructions. And it is a very, very scientifically arranged book, written quite late in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing career. Career is not the word, but writings. Where he really makes the effort to take his audience from the initial states of human life and elevates them higher and higher until in the sixth chapter, which he calls a rainfall of nectar, a rain shower of nectar, he has a chapter where he says, chanting while aspiring for prema. When I was in the Bosnian mountains, recovering from a traumatic surgery, I read that. And I remember I would have to walk every day for 2 hours because I needed to make new blood channels in my right leg and really walk. I was walking often through the forest, through the fog. It was quite high because I needed to be in cool temperature so that the wounds could help heal. It was quite complicated. So I read this every day, this book, for 2 weeks, took elaborate notes, and It changed my life in two ways. I found a new mission for my life, and the other is I found instructions for my own practice of chanting, how I could give it a direction, a purpose, how I could give it a heart, an aspiration, if you so wish, a sweet longing and desire. It's in the sixth rainfall, chanting while aspiring for prema. And I was so absolutely enthused that I wanted to share my knowledge, but I was isolated. So I wrote all my notes together and gave a seminar in Serbia at the Serbian summer camp in the midst of the forest. Beautiful place, if you would like to have a visit for the next summer camp, which is tremendous, beautiful. And I gave my seminar the title Chanting with the Heart. And the devotees were so inspired, said, from where did you get all this new information? We have not heard it. I said, ha-ha, I've read it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works. They said, well, this is so good. Can you do us a favor? You have time. Can you write a book on this? And then I wrote this little book, Nam Rahasya, which is really following the chapter, but putting some more information from different shastras in there, so that it's really crystal clear what you have to do in order to chant and then attain love of Godhead. It's very, very nice. I mean, I have never made any advertisement for my own books because it's ruthless, shameless, and criminal, but here I will do it. This is the best book which I have ever written, because I have not written it. It is purely Bhaktivinoda Thakur and some composition and putting it together for easy understanding with quotations from Srila Prabhupada and Haridas Thakur is a lot in there and so on. And yes, and there, like everywhere, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reiterates the tradition that while chanting, you should meditate about the meaning, because then the chanting will carry you where your goal is, where your meditation is, where your orientation is. Do you know that, who uses of you an Apple computer? Let me ask this question. Do you know the name Stephen Jobs? He is the founding father of the Apple computer. And he describes in his biography that he was in the Hare Krishna temple in Boston. Maybe he was a bhakta who scrubbed the pots, yes, pots and pans. And he had the wrong orientation. He didn't go for prema bhakti, he went for foolish Apple computers. What a poor failure in his life. But because he had this orientation to make money, which is boring and absolutely unnecessary, he got it, because the mantra works when you have an orientation. It brings you there. It's almost like a force of sound vibration, and wherever you steer your boat, which captures the force, it will bring you there. If, for instance, you chant with apparatus, you will be blown into the material life. If you chant while aspiring for Krishna and Krishna's service, oh, please let me serve you, oh, then you will be carried in this direction. So, in that book, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and particularly in this chapter, Chanting While Aspiring for Prema, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces a meditation on the Hare Krishna mantra, which I would like to do with you, a meditation which is given by Gopal Guru Goswami, and which you have here. Gopa Guru Goswami, there are different stories about him, but what I know is that when he was once young, he saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the toilet, and when he came out, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his tongue between the tooth. Oh, sorry. He had his tongue between the tooth. The little child asked him, "Why do you have your tongue between your tooth, Mahaprabhu?" Mahaprabhu, he was always in one of three types of consciousness. The writers call it external consciousness, that means he was aware of the external world. Then internal consciousness, he was aware of the Krishna world and Radha and Krishna and saw scenes. And then something in between, when he would transition from the internal world, internal perspective to the external, he would have an in-between state, where he was half-half in two worlds. So he came out from the toilet and was fully with the world, and he said, "My dear boy, I'm having my tongue in my mouth because my tongue wants to always chant the holy name. And this is an unclean place." And then the boy answered, "But the holy name can never be made impure. It is Nitya Mukto, always liberated and always pure. Even there, it will not take on the qualities of the unclean place. And also, you should always chant for another reason. You never know when you will die." Mahaprabhu saw the little boy instructing him like this. The little boy's name was Gopal. He was so pleased. He said, "Gopal, you are my guru. Your name is Gopal Guru." And he embraced him and put him lovingly on his lap. He was so pleased with this particular instruction from the little boy, you know. "You never know when you will die. And it is eternally pure. It cannot become impure. You are my guru." Mahaprabhu took him on his lap. And this boy, who had association when he was very young with Mahaprabhu, I've also heard that this was another boy, but this is always in such things, there are many different perspectives on this. He became a great spiritual teacher who is gotten many instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly about meditation. And he appears in the Jaiva Dharma and instructs there. His celebrated disciple is Dhyana Chandra Goswami. And I remember, and his deities are the Radha Kant deities, which are there in the mud near the Kashi Bhavan. Yeah, these are his deities, and beautiful deities. Maharaj has a fond memory. They're very effulgent deities. They're from Gopa Guru Goswami. They somehow came there. Now, when he had left, his body was already on the funeral pyre. There was some dispute about this property, and the king claimed proprietorship over it. And his disciple Dhyan Chandra, Gopaguru's disciple Dhyana Chandra, was grief-stricken by this injustice and misunderstanding. So he went to his guru, who was on the funeral pyre, and said, "Guru Maharaj, you went too early." And he was grief-stricken. All of a sudden, Gopa Guru, it's described, he rose. It was not yet incinerated, the fire. He came down from the funeral fire And he said, where's the king? I want to clarify this. And he went to the king, and in his own presence he said, no, this place is given to me. The owner of this place told my qualified disciple, Dhyan Chandra Goswami. There is no illusion about it. I'm saying this to you. Arrange the necessity steps. Then he went back to the funeral pyre and said, now let's go. He was great accomplished Vaishnav. It is described that days after his incineration, cremation we say, he actually appeared to his disciples in Vrindavan under a tamal tree and gave them instructions. And you can visit this temple in Vrindavan. It's a beautiful temple. I visited last year, where he appeared and gave instructions to his grief-stricken disciples in Vrindavan. And then, finally, he went for good. I mean, I hope you say it like this in English. He did not return in physical shape. He went forever. Joined the eternal pastimes. So he was a great master, empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gave these meditations, which you can find on your sheet of paper. I want to give you this as my private present to you. You can make yourself slowly familiar with these, and as you chant, sometimes if you feel, oh, I want to enliven my heart as I chant and be there a little bit, then you can take one of these meditations at a time and think about it. So I would like to chant with you now one round where I will train you to use one meditation. I would like to request you to please sit straight, as you have learned. You might like to do what I have shown you earlier, the simple shoulder roll. You go up, and then you go back, and then you hang your arms there. Then your chest is wide open, and you sit quite straight. And I will now do the following. We will chant together in one voice. We will chant, as Giriraj Maharaj has repeated, in a relaxed but very alert way, in one voice. And I will just say a few meditations to you. You will keep on chanting, and you will try to combine the holy name with these meditations. Yes? I will give a little sign like this, and then you know a new meditation will come, and then you just chant and listen to the chanting and to the meditation, and then see if you can bring it together. Let us chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govaktavinda. One moment. Very sorry. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Continue to chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Please fix your attention totally on the sound of the holy names.
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Keep on chanting, please. Chant in a very attentive yet relaxed way. As you chant, please put into your mind this meditation. O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
O Krishna,
Hare Rama,
please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Now say it on your own in your meditation. O Krishna, please pull my heart to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Keep on chanting.
O Radha,
please make me qualified for serving you. Radha, please make me qualified for serving you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
O Radha, please make me qualified for serving you. O Radha, please make me qualified for serving you. O Radha, please make me qualified for serving you. O Radha, please make me qualified for serving you. Please say it in your meditation on your own. Sometimes devotees have asked, how is it possible to chant and concentrate and at the same time put your mind into a meditation like that? You might have asked yourself this also as you were doing it, and I know that when you do that for the first time, it's very difficult. Let me tell you my first encounter with the devotees. I saw them first in TV and then in live in Hamburg, and they danced. And I was so shocked to see that people actually can dance in Hamburg. I mean, I came from a good German family. They were on the walking path and they were dancing and they were screaming and sweating. I was very intrigued but very shy, so I went. I mean, I had seen the devotees very, very early, but then I had lost contact. But then I went into to the opposite side of the street on a bench. I picked up a newspaper and I sat on the bench with my back toward the devotees, pretending I was reading the newspaper so that they wouldn't see me, and just listened to them. And from time to time I peeked behind the newspaper and I thought, far out. I mean, this is better than the Stones. I was solidly impressed, and I thought, I would also like to have that nerve to just dance and shout on the road and just be oblivious to public opinion. But I'm not so free, I'm so constrained and convoluted. So I decide, let me slowly come closer, maybe something drops off, because I was revolutionary minded. I wanted to change the society like all 16 year old boys. then I remember the devotees, I became close, and after 1 month finally they invited me, and I had hope for this, to go on Harinam with them. And I thought, this will be my ultimate test. It will be like going naked into a public assembly, but I will do it. And I went, fortunately we only went to a park and not the foot ganger park, but already in the park everyone knew me with my long hair and my unusual external things, imitating the hippie movement. I mean, I was a child. I was not very serious in anything, but I also danced, I remember. And then I remembered that I asked the devotees on the way back, how do you do this? You dance and you sing simultaneously. I mean, these are two totally foreign activities. They are not connected. And then I see some of you playing a drum. That's the third thing. And some of you smile at the people. That's the fourth thing. I mean, don't you get schizophrenia when you do so many things at once? How do you do this? And they said, my dear, innocent, ignorant boy, it is very simple. You just sing, and then you just take the things, the cartels, and you somehow bring them together, and if it's wrong, they will look at you, and then you no, this is what one devotee, his name was Vasudev, told me, and don't worry, it will come, it will come, and now I can also do, I can sing and play the cartels, I can look at the devotees and see everyone who's sleeping. At the same time, I can notice that I'm aware of the Madanga beat and where it goes off and where it goes on, and everything. It's a matter of practice, really. It is not difficult at all, but anything which is new is quite difficult in the beginning. So I recommend for you to just take this whenever you feel your heart needs to get a little kickstart to be there with the chanting, and you go through this, read it, and you will see it will come to mind. So many things come to mind when you chant. Why not the meaning of the mantras, my dear devotees? You can chant and think of prasadam. I am 100% sure it is not a problem for you. So why not chant and meditate about the meaning of the mantra? And it will come as naturally as the picture of prasadam comes to you. You don't have to strain at this. And guess what? When you meditate about the meaning of the holy name, it's not a diversion. It will bring you more into the experience of a Krishna being non-different from his holy name. This is a little recommendation, but as all these things, don't force yourself into it. See when it's naturally come. And what I must tell you very honestly, I'm a very unadvanced chanter, so I sometimes read these things, and then I put the meaning aside, and then as I chant, all of a sudden the meaning comes. It comes flying to me. Like a wanted guest, not like an unwanted guest. And it enhances the devotion, the favor, the fervor, and it enhances the heart and pulls it to Krishna.